Penn Jillette on Free FM, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. And you know, today is July 3rd, and I think you'd want to have a great American on July 4th, because July 4th is, you know,
some celebration of
some celebration
something.
Of some sort. So that's who you'd want to have a truly great American on. But July 4th, of course, is a Tuesday, and that makes it a Monkey Tuesday. So tomorrow we'll be talking about monkeys all day. So I think that having
great American monkeys.
A great American the day before the 4th of July, because he is about to be on the cusp of being governor of Texas. We have our good friend Kinky Friedman. Are you really going to win?
We're definitely going to win, Penn. I mean, there's no question. Well, I mean, there's 4.5. What about 4 months to go?
Yeah.
Which is a lifetime in politics.
Yes.
But we're going to win this booger. All the polls now are showing us running away with it. I've got
You're like 61%.
Yeah, well, it's like that in places like Amarillo and Lake Jackson and Austin, San Antonio, of course, Waco. I mean, we shouldn't be winning in some of these places, but we are.
Now, who's coming out for you? Who's
Well, every crazy redneck in Texas has been supporting me for quite some time. They like the five Mexican generals plan.
Why don't you explain that again? Because when I'm talking about your plans, I always mention this one first.
Well, this is a good one because, as you know, the border is not in good shape. And I met John McCain. Have you ever met McCain?
Never ever met him.
Well, I met him for the first time last month at Texas A&M, and he was introduced by George Sr., 41. And George had invited me. And so I was telling George about the five Mexican generals plan, which is to divide the border into five jurisdictions. And we appoint a Mexican general in charge of each section. And then we give each Mexican general $2 million.
Wasn't it $1 million last time?
We've gone up to $2 million.
Okay.
Believe me, this is a bargain. A bargain at any price.
For $10 million.
$10 million keeps illegals out of Texas.
Oh, we have to.
All right, yeah. Then we hold each general's $2 million in a Swiss style bank account, yeah, in escrow. And every time we catch an illegal coming through his section, we withdraw $5,000. If there's a drug bust, $25,000. Now, this would stop illegal immigration into Texas. Now, as I was telling George Sr.,
are you just paying Mexicans to kill their own? Isn't that all you're doing?
Well, let me just tell you McCain's reaction to it. George was chuckling about it.
Mm-hmm.
He was laughing about the five Mexican generals plan, and McCain says very seriously, "You know, that five Mexican generals plan is probably better than anything we've got working right now." And the fact is, Microsoft does the same damn thing. They hire hackers to stop other hackers.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they hope to catch. Of course, they haven't caught Bin Laden, but that would be the plan, is to get the bad guys to help catch Bin Laden, not the good guys. They're not going to get him. Mm-hmm. So it really makes perfect sense. And we're going to have to do something. Texas is... We got guys, contractors, hiring illegals in Houston that for roof contracting are real hard jobs. And then when the payroll comes due, they call the Border Patrol. And these guys are still in business. I mean, everybody's getting screwed but Vicente Fox right now and the Mexican government.
Mm-hmm.
The illegals are getting screwed, and we're getting screwed.
Now, I'm
getting screwed doing this interview. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know you that well, but I've known you a couple of years. Did you get into this as a joke and then change somewhere along the way?
Well, that's how life usually works.
Isn't it?
Marriage, everything else.
But when did you stop kidding about running for governor?
Well, I never have. I agree with Will Rogers, you know, that the politicians are the greatest comedians of them all. You know, it's just that every time they make a joke, it turns into a law, and every time they make a law, it turns into a joke. But, yeah, I mean, these other politicians have had humor bypasses, Penn. They really have. And that really is a problem.
Have you talked to Jesse Ventura about this?
Yeah, I have.
And what kind of advice did he give you?
Jess gave me some great advice. In fact, he's coming down to help us the first week of September when we do a college tour, you know.
Cool.
Jesse said a couple things. He gave me the words for the Republicans and Democrats, the Crips and the Bloods. And he also told me, be yourself. That way you never have to remember who you are.
I've been told that Jesse Ventura,
very
off stage and walking on this platform to give a speech, are the identical same guy.
There's no persona
whatsoever that happens.
Which is remarkable. People laugh when you say Jesse Ventura. They think that's funny, you know. Here's a guy. Let me tell you something. Minnesota's health care, Minnesota Care, Minnesota is number one in coverage today, thanks largely to Jesse. Also, I mean, it covers every child and every adult, poor, rich, makes no difference. And also, he refused to meet any lobbyist for the whole 4 years he was governor. Never met one. I'm going to do the same thing.
Now, you do know that we had a president of the United States that was a professional wrestler already. Do you know that? You know who that was?
Let me guess. Winston Hardberger?
Who was it?
Harding?
Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was an exhibition wrestler at county fairs. That's when he was at law school, he did that.
Did you know what was all Lincoln's possessions when he was assassinated, all that was on his body? I mean, was his grandfather's gold watch, a half-smoked cigar in his pocket, and a $5 Confederate bill.
That's exactly what you have in your pockets right now.
Well, it's very Gandhi-like.
Yeah.
It is. And very Christ-like.
But presidents don't have to carry.
Very Penn Jillette-like,
actually. We're always set in the same.
You know, the one thing that's refreshing about you is most of the people that go in for buying all the stuff you buy and have everything, you know, like you probably have every kind of electric toothbrush and all kind. I mean, anything you can buy, you got. Mm-hmm. And you're still adding on, you know, and things like that to the place. But you're not a Christian. That's a good thing. You know, usually the people that have these kind of places are Christians. That is refreshing.
So you're okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, but didn't Jesse Ventura get really disillusioned?
Yeah, he did.
After being governor? Didn't he talk to you about that at all? Did he say anything like, don't bother?
Save yourself, run as a trap?
Jesse, you know, I describe him now as a real righteous, very, very wise and smart man who's very naive. And he didn't realize that wrestling is real and politics is fixed. That's all. He didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I know that coming in. Jesse didn't. I think he thought that politics was not fixed. It is fixed.
Now, what do you think? Now, one of the reasons you're doing so well is that the governor of Texas is just hated now, right?
Well, yeah, I don't like to pick on Rick Perry. In fact, it's not Kinky Friedman versus Rick Perry. It's Kinky Friedman versus apathy. I rather like Rick Perry. We've taken a few cooking classes together. Well, we've seen a few Broadway musicals, you know. All right, so we took a hot air balloon ride. We took one cruise together. Look, you keep up this line of questioning, I'm going to sashay right out of here. I'm not kidding you. I got nothing against Rick. He's fine. You know, he's a symptom. You know what he's done? He's put a webcam on the border. That's what he's done. Well, other than banning gay marriage, which he did that, but he put a webcam on the border recently that we can see illegals coming over on the internet, but we can't do anything about it. You know, we can see them in a show. I've suggested the show be called Mexican Idol. But I mean, if this was such a genius idea, why didn't he do it 6 years ago? He's been governor for 6 years, and he's just discovered that we have a border with Mexico.
Yeah. Now, is George Bush, your buddy, going to endorse you?
No, of course he's not. He is a good man trapped inside a Republican's body. He is like a pedigreed dog. He can't help it. It's not his fault. And he would never support anybody who's, at least officially, who's not a Republican. Frankly, everybody, and it's going to put a smile on everybody in America's face if we win this thing. I think we will.
Do you think it has implications? I mean, do you think that the whole country,
Great White Hope,
is going to do is going to get crazy the next election?
Well, something's going on. We're getting there's no reason why we should be in the high 50s in all these little towns and places in this polling. It's not scientific, but it's remarkable. There is a trend. Something is happening.
Now, are there any polls that are putting you behind or low or anything like that?
Yes. There's one. When they screen everybody out of it, when they deal with the universe of 29%, which is the eligible voters that voted last time. Remember, right. I told you they spent $100 million on the last governor's race in Texas, mm-hmm, to drive 71% of us away from the polls. And only 29% voted. So if you go to that 29%, and you ask each one, are you a Republican? Have you voted every time? You know, they wait, screen, and by the time they get through deleting all the unlikely voters, what they get is a governor now at 38 points and dropping, and we are at 20, which for an independent is almost as high as you can go, with likely voters. Mm-hmm. In other words, the people that are coming back after not voting for 10 years or they're disgusted with everything, none of them are saying, well, we've got to vote for Rick Perry. None of them. So we're going to get another lump of maybe 20 more.
Yeah.
Now, that's what happened with Jesse.
Exactly.
Princeton University did a research deal on him, and they found that Nobody could name an issue in the whole campaign. But 85% of the new voters were for Jesse. So we figured to get that.
Now, how well known are you in Texas? I mean, you're a national figure, but are you much bigger in Texas?
Well, let's hope so, because otherwise you'll have the Ann Richards effect, where a lot of America was for Ann Richards when she ran for governor, and Texas was for George W.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I think it's very hard to say right now. Right now, the teachers are furious. They're just disheartened.
Teachers are furious with.
Well, they're disheartened. They're education in Texas. We're 50th in education, and Guam and Samoa are sneaking up on us right now. You know, we're not doing well. I've advocated legalizing casino gambling to pay for education. We invented Texas Hold'em, and we can't even play it. All right. So instead, we fuel the economies of you guys here in Vegas.
We like that. We appreciate that very much.
And now, you're welcome. There's more flights, I think, from Texas than anywhere else, more nonstops to Vegas. And as well as that, we're also doing New Mexico, Oklahoma, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So if we could reverse that, if we could just legalize casino gambling, we would have what we need, a permanent revenue stream that would pay for education.
Now, you've probably looked into this. It's different in every state. How much power are you going to have as governor?
You don't have much in Texas. It's not the power of the job. It is spiritual lifting. It is the ability to rally the people around the important issues of the day. Our governor has chosen things like cheerleading legislation. stuff like that. We had an incident, by the way, since I've seen you, Penn. I was the Grand Marshal of the St. Patty's Day Parade in Dallas, Kinky McFriedman. And during this parade, from a moving vehicle, moving at 1 mile per hour, basically, somebody handed me a Guinness, the drink that kept the Irish from taking over the world.
Yeah.
And I was sipping from it, apparently, and was photographed by the Dallas Morning News, it's breaking a law in Texas, which is open container and moving vehicle.
And you weren't driving.
No, I was not driving, but it's still against the law. So that's called Guinness Gate 2006. And I'm now here to tell you that to admit that I did drink the Guinness, but I did not swallow. I did not swallow. And the fact that this story got statewide play is when education and the border are doing so poorly and they're being neglected by the politicians.
Did it hurt you? Did Guinness?
No. We thought it would. Yeah, but it solidified us with Joe Sixpack all over the state.
Yeah, I guess so.
And you know, it's pointed out something. Then the Dallas Morning News ran an editorial. They said your average politician would immediately go into rehab and apologize and do all this kind of crap. You know, we didn't do that, and we just said, you know, to hell with it, and it worked. Something about it. Never apologize. Well, I knew that before I was running for governor. Mm-hmm. But it would. These guys, I'm telling you, there's three of them running. There's four of us running. Mm-hmm. It's a very unusual race, and there's no runoff. So the guy with the most points is the governor, which means anybody can win. It's very strange. But the other three candidates are all, if you're a politically correct person, which I know you are.
Yes, I am.
You got three good choices, the three other people. And as far as me, I believe in common sense and common honesty, as George Washington said.
Well, there you go. That's a good quote. How about Bill Clinton, your buddy Bill? Is he supporting you or saying anything about it at all?
Well, we're distancing ourselves from Bill a little bit for this. Texas is a red state, and I don't know that Bill's going to be a lot of help. I think what's really working is I tell the folks I do not have a tamale down in the barrio and then go have fried chicken at a black church. And, you know, I'm not pandering to anybody in any way. And I treat all the people the same. I give the same basic stump speech, whatever it is, whatever comes into my head, any place.
Now, your past, you know, having a band called the Texas Jew Boys, and they don't make Jews like Jesus, and the kind of blasphemous and very politically incorrect stuff you've done in your past, is that coming back and biting you in the ass at all?
Remains to be seen. We know that, the Swift Boats could be coming. I was stoned a lot of the time, like yourself.
Yeah.
But, I was not like you. I was stoned a lot of the time when I was a musician. I was involved with many, many beautiful women, and I raised a lot of hell, and I don't regret it. And I didn't kill anybody. I mean, hell, even Ted Kennedy can't say that.
And have you? I mean, has anybody just said, you know, how can you use the phrase, the word Jew boy, and then run for governor? Have people really been busting you? I mean, I would be terrified to have the, some of the stuff that I've said be brought up in a political arena.
There's a world of stuff there, yeah. And so, you know, if they want to bring it up, I'm sure they can. I think the vote we're going for, really, though, are the not the far right, religious right. They're gone. You know, we're not going to get them. They're the ones that support the governor. Mm-hmm. And the far religious right and the far left, who are embarrassed to say Merry Christmas, the politically correct left, those two groups are holding back the greatest state in the country, the greatest one. I mean, the most powerful, the richest, the one that could lead the country and will. It won't be California.
Except for Nevada.
You know, I really love Vegas, and I'm going to be sorry to have to go to Corpus or Galveston or other places like that. The Vegas people are not going to like it when we legalize casino gambling, because it is going to be huge in Texas.
Yes, it would be huge. Do you have the powers, Governor, to do that?
Yeah, you do, actually. Well, you do if you determine to do something. It's more like a Teddy Roosevelt bully pulpit thing. It's more like there's ways you can transfer tribal lands.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Indians, friend. You see you see this little Indian chief I always wear?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
it's on your middle finger.
Yes. Yeah. This Indian chief reminds me to open the Indian casinos, which have been shut down as well in Texas. And I do that. A governor can do that. A governor can transfer tribal lands to one part of the state to another, if he has to. But 76% of Texans, Penn, favor legalized casino gambling. Which is why we need INR. We need initiative and referendum, because we are for legalized gambling. We hate toll roads in Texas, and they're all over the place. I want to get rid of the toll roads. You know my idea, name the highways after Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Buddy Holly, Bob Wills, mm-hmm. Stevie Ray Vaughan, and Janis Joplin.
Oh, you've added two.
I've added two.
You've added two. Stevie Ray Vaughan and Janis Joplin.
Yes.
And how many highways you got in there? You got still more?
Well, we could probably have a little Doug Somm feeder
sure.
road and Kinky Freeman crosswalk, you know,
sure,
things
sure.
like that.
Why wouldn't you? Maybe I should wait till after a break. I want to come back, and there's two things I want to talk to you about, so you can prepare yourself.
Now, we've already given people a lot to digest, right?
I just want you to talk about, we got the Mexican Generales, right? We got the no toll roads. We got the legalized gambling. You've already talked about all those. I want to know some more of the changes that will be in Kinky's, Texas. But I want to also talk to you about national politics, who you like as president and so on. This is Penn Jillette on Free FM, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. And Michael Goodell is sitting here with us on kind of a work-study program here.
I'm waving.
We'll be back right after this.
Spring is here. The temperatures are heating up.
And Apple Ford, Baltimore's number one Ford dealer, has a red-hot deal for you.
Take $11,000 off the MSRP on all new F-150 4x4 crew cabs in stock. Plus, only Apple Ford will make you a customer for life.
With many benefits, such as oil changes and tire rotations for life at no additional cost.
$11,000 off F-150 crew cabs and customer for life.
No other Ford dealer but Apple Ford in Columbia can offer you this.
But hurry, because with a deal this hot, these trucks won't last long.
We always treat you with respect, give you more than you expect. Here at Apple Ford, you're a customer for life. It's our guarantee.
Just off Route 175 in Snowden River Parkway.
Apple Ford.
Log on to AppleFord.com.
Offer applies to in-stock 2006 units only. All applicable Ford rebates are included and may require financing with Ford. Plus taxes, tax, and A75 freight. Customer for life has stipulations.
Hi, this is Jerry Robbins of Robbins Delaware Diamonds in Delaware, home of tax-free shopping. Question. Guys, what did you give her last year for your anniversary? Flowers? Perfume? Huh? Do you even remember? This year you can make a really lasting impression with a gift neither of you will ever forget. A sparkling, 3-stone diamond anniversary ring from Robbins Delaware Diamonds. The symbolism of the 3-stone diamond anniversary ring is unique. One diamond represents the past, one for the present, and one for the future. The diamond in the center is larger than the other two, and that leaves you to contemplate. Does the larger diamond stand for the love you share today, or the joy that waits in the years ahead? Robbins Delaware Diamonds is offering these rings at affordable prices. So this year, here's a meaningful way to capture and reflect on the years you've spent together and look forward to the happy years ahead. With a 3-stone diamond anniversary ring from Robbins Delaware Diamonds in Delaware, home of tax-free shopping. It's just a short ride up I-95 to exit 4B at Churchman's Crossing, right next to Borders Books.
Lucky you!
While those other fools are hearing commercials, you're not. Sit tight. 105.7 HFS. We'll be right back. Else is hearing commercials, here's something to dance to. Stick around. 105.7 HFS is on its way back. While those other fools are hearing commercials, you're not. Sit tight. 105.7 HFS. We'll be right back. HFS will be back in a bit.
WHFS.
All right. Quit your bitching already. Now you can listen to 105.7 HFS anywhere, anytime. If you've got a computer, you've got HFS. Just go to WHFS.com and click on Listen Live. Tell everyone on your buddy list. HFS is plugged in and online at last. 105.7 HFS. Free FM. Penn's back. Penn Gillette. 105.7 Free FM.
Now we're here with Kiki Friedman. This is Free FM, Penn Gillette, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com, with who could very likely be the next governor of Texas, Kiki Friedman. And you've got in October, because you're trying to make up for having a little less coin than the other candidates, you're bringing in who? Bob Dylan?
Yeah, there's a lot of folks.
Willie Nelson, Jimmy Buffett. Who else you named there?
Jesse Ventura, Lyle Lovett, and... by the way,
we were very flattered that you asked us. We're trying.
You guys would be great.
We only have one day off a week, and that's Tuesdays. And we'll with
just the like the Lord took one day off.
Exactly. That's exactly what Peter Teller are. We'd love to come down. And does Bob Dylan ever come out and supported a political candidate?
I don't think he has.
And
that's all we're asking for is really a personal appearance. It's not a show.
Right.
We want you to do or anything like that. And you can be funny. Well, I think we should probably leave the atheism at home, don't you think?
It kind of travels with me, Kinky. Teller and I, it kind of travels with us all the time. What other things will Kinky's Texas, how else will it be different from the Texas we have now?
Well, let me tell you something. I think the governor needs to be in touch with the people, obviously. That goes without saying. That's why we fought the Revolutionary War. The king was out of touch with the colonies, and very little has changed in 200 years. And today, I would have a listed phone number, of course, that people could call me several hours every day.
Well, you used to be able to walk up to the White House and just stop.
Yeah, well, those are great days. Harry Truman was the last president that walked his own dog, you know, without security and everything. And I'd like to be like that. I'd like to be on radio shows like this where people could call in and just unload on you, you know, on a regular basis. I went to a funeral of my 83-year-old friend, Bill Hardin, in Kerrville, Texas, 2 weeks ago. And it was a Presbyterian. And I think you're a Presbyterian.
Yes, I am.
And a very devout one. And the minister read this thing from the New Testament, from John, about the Good Shepherd. Now I don't read the New Testament. I'm a Jew. I don't read the New Testament. In fact, I don't read the Old Testament. But the point is, the Good Shepherd, here's what he said. He said, the Good Shepherd knows and recognizes his own, and his own know and recognize him. Mm-hmm. And the hired hand flees when the wolves come, but the Good Shepherd stays. And I thought, my God, that's what I want to be. I don't want to be a politician. I want to be the Good Shepherd of Texas.
But how can you be a man of the people, Kinky, when you've never had a job?
Well, that's not quite true. I mean, I've worked. I've just never had a job.
Right.
You know, but I mean, I've worked.
I didn't say you didn't work. I said you never had a job.
Well, I don't think the governorship is much of a. I'm telling you, honest to God, it's a gig. I mean, but it's not. This is not hard work, Penn. And these guys have convinced us that it's really something, that it's very awesome to be, you know, the governor of Texas. His hair doesn't turn gray when he retires. Mm-hmm. And when our governor retires, he'll be on the boards of all the insurance companies, all the home builders, all the toll road people. That's where he'll be, and his hair will still be black. It's like the judge of a big chili cook-off. Like I said, it's not, this is not any awesome job, but the guy's got one thing. He's got to inspire the people. He's got to be able to do that. And our governor has failed to do that.
Now, I guess this is perhaps an unpleasant question, but you know what I mean. Do you have any brains behind you?
In my person, you mean?
I know. I mean, in politically, you know.
Oh no! James Carville's like that.
Yeah, you're charismatic.
We don't
want
that. We got two guys. We've got the Minnesota Mafia. We got Jesse's people.
Uh-huh.
Senator Dean Barkley, who's great.
Uh-huh.
And mostly just tells me be charming. You know?
But I mean, that's
and we got Bill Hilsman. Bill's the guru. He's the media guru. Bill Hilsman.
But those are people telling you how to campaign, how to win.
Oh, once we win.
Do you have anybody that once you win is going to be in there, kind of going, Kinky, you should pay more attention to this. Someone that really kind of knows the ropes.
Well,
I mean, wanting to get someone in that has no political experience seems really, really good. But once you're in, don't you need someone that knows a little bit about the way it works?
Just a little bit. That's all you want. Because I'm telling you right now, knowledge. Political knowledge can be used as a hammer to hurt people. That's what's happening today. That's how it's used. Believe me. Right here. I don't know anything about Las Vegas, but I guarantee you, the guys on the inside of politics know where that highway is coming through. They know where your tax appraisement is, what it's going to be. They know a lot of things. They're using it to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a key. Knowledge should be a key to open the bureaucracy, to open up the cage of corruption. That's what I want it to be. So I don't want to appoint people that have ever been in politics. I'm telling the people of Texas are mad as hell. They're going to be coming with pitchforks in November. They're going to throw the money changers out of the temple, I guarantee. And then the Crips and the Bloods will have to go out and find work, you know. They'll have to do something else.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of...
I just want to appoint the best people I can find, that's all, and let them... I'll get the hell out of their way and let them work.
So you're thinking mostly you're going to be... Well, you just said something...
Do I have people I trust that could run the state? Absolutely, of course.
Yeah. Where'd you find them?
In the experience of my life, experientially, I found them. I find a guy like you, say, let's say you've got a passion that no one's ever known about. Let's say you want to grow blue bonnets in all Texas public school gardens, that's something that you could really get behind. Well, a guy with your passion and determination, I would hire you in a heartbeat. Lance Armstrong is somebody that I've recently, I did his radio show a couple months ago. And Lance is, let me tell you something, Texas has 254 counties. Right now, in the education business, we got 254 monkeys, and we need one gorilla. And if Lance told me, I will see to it, Kinky, that the money gets from the casinos to education this time, that it will get there. Hell, it's going to get there if Lance says it will. And that kind of person would never have his hand in Texas's pocket, and neither would you.
Because
I'd hire guys like you.
People that are passionate about something and aren't interested in any way in the political
career.
That's
it. And that's where Jimmy Buffett comes in, who called me. And we're not friends. I mean, we've met each other. We're friends, but not close. And he says he wants to help us. And I said, Jimmy, you know, we're talking millions here. We're going to need that to level the playing field. And he says, yeah, but when I'm governor, when you're governor, he said, there's one thing I want. I said, what is it? He says Port Aransas, which is a little town in the near Corpus Christi. He wants Port Aransas. He doesn't want the key to the city. I mean, he wants the town of Port Aransas.
What do you mean? He wants to own it?
He wants to own it, yeah. And so I talked to the lighthouse keeper there, Rick Reichenbach, this friend of mine. And he said, you know, if you ceded Port Aransas to Jimmy for 4 years, the tourism would be fantastic for us. It'd be great. And Jimmy is the kind of guy I would trust.
So is that on the Red Dick Riviera there? Is
that where it is? Yeah.
And what is it? How many people live there?
I don't know. I don't have all the stats here yet. You know?
Can you give a town to somebody?
Well, we'll find out what you can do. You know, I mean,
what does he want to do with it? Do you know?
I have no idea. I think it goes back to maybe the way Florida once seemed to him before it became, commercial. This town is not gone yet, you know. It's still kind of rustic.
But does he want to be mayor or does he?
Jesus, Penn, I have no idea what the man wants.
You brought it up.
Interview Jimmy Buffett and he'll tell you. I have no idea what he wants, but it's guys like Jimmy and Jesse who have no, they're not getting anything out of this, and they're not looking to.
City?
A town?
Oh, okay. For old
town. All right, Port Aransas. I offered him Dallas. He does not want Dallas.
What's Jesse get out of it?
I think the problem with the media and the politicians there was it got very nasty with his family, Penn.
Yes, it did.
And you can understand that. You got kids now. So let's say you decide that you're going to run for something here, and you do, and then they start coming at your family and all. And, that it gets very, very ugly.
And he had also Garrison Keillor with Psycho on him.
And Garrison,
I mean, I never liked Garrison Keillor's show or anything very much, but didn't he write a whole book about Jesse?
Oh, yeah, and before the election, he was saying that voting for Jesse's like wrapping toilet paper around the trees of your father's house in kind of a fit of pique, that there's no chance the guy's going to get elected, that it's a very adolescent kind of, whatever. Anyway, he was 100% off base and pompous about it as well.
Very pompous.
I don't want to say too many bad things about Garrison Keillor because he had Molly Ivins on the show last week, and she was talking about Kinky for about 10 minutes and it was very funny.
Okay, good.
And so, God bless you, Garrison. You're doing it. No. But, why? There's certain people that he's just not a visionary. I mean, it's hard to be, man. You talk to any politician and they'll tell you, I'm not going to win this race. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll show you that it can't be done, that there's four people and three of them are going to split the vote and the governor is going to walk in, even though he's very unpopular.
Uh-huh.
That's not what's going to happen.
But isn't the three people splitting the vote with all the non-nuts a big help for you? If all the nuts rally together around you, aren't there enough nuts in Texas to make you win? Just the nut vote if you get it 100%?
Yes, there are. And there's people that really want their Texas back, They do. And as this is the state where this is the last resort against wussification in the whole country.
Yeah, that certainly is true.
Oh, it is true. And if Texas folds, then Lance and I disagree on smoking, all these regulations and crap. And I think you can understand this as a fair, just person. You don't like smoking, but let me say what's happened. In Austin, the live music capital of the world, they've now got these smoking regulations everywhere. And they're saying that they're still selling as much alcohol and food as they were before the regulations. The difference is that they're now being sold at chain restaurants, and every little mom and pop music establishment that you would like has had to close down because people, it's natural to shoot a little pool in a little place and smoke a cigarette and drink at the same time. Sure. And if you can't do it, the place goes under.
Well, you misjudge me, because although I'm not fond of smoking, I hate regulation much more. I always think you err on the side of freedom.
Wait, I underestimated you, right?
Yeah, I think perhaps just a little bit. Tell me what else. What else is in Kinky's, Texas?
Well, there's a... let me think.
Yeah, well.
Well, I mean, I don't have, everything totally programmed is what's going to happen. I do think criminal justice is very sad. I mean,
are you a death penalty guy?
Well, I was. Now I ask the question, when was the last time a rich man was executed in Texas? Mm-hmm. And of course, you can ask that in America.
Yeah.
Do you know the answer to that one?
I think never.
Never is the right answer. And as long as you've got a system that imperfect, it's no better than the one that killed our Savior 2,000 years ago. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
So you're against the death penalty in Texas?
No, that's poison to be against the death
penalty. So what do you say?
I'm not entirely. There are people that need to be killed, I think. Okay,
think so?
If that's what you want. Yeah, I think so. But I just question what we've learned in 2,000 years. I mean, we executed an innocent man, and he's become the savior of the world. We made a little comma blunder on that, didn't we?
That if Jesus had been allowed to live, he would have just petered out? Is that your point? We just kind of forgotten him without the tomb escape. He would have just gone away.
Well, you never know about that. But nonetheless, we won't be able to call that one back. I think that's a pretty serious. As a Jew who values Jesus very, very much, and in fact, I have a lot in common with the Christian fundamentalists, which are I support Israel very strongly. I support prayer in school, which I know you do as well.
Yeah.
And I support the Ten Commandments being brought back. And it's just ridiculous. People that can't say Merry Christmas, I can't understand it. And I do think, how about Daryl Scott, the father of that girl at Columbine, who says don't blame guns, don't blame the NRA.
Yep.
Blame the fact that there was no spirituality in the schools, and that the only time those kids ever prayed was when they prayed for their lives. You don't understand that, Penn?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Not at all. We'll talk about that more right after this. We'll be right back. Who am I? I'm Penn Jillette with Kiki Friedman and Michael Goodell. We're talking to, I think, who could be the next governor of Texas. How nuts would that be? He's double clutching right now.
Free FM. The HF Festival is coming. Be the first to get details. BeAnHFS.com or sign up now at WHFS.com. While everyone else is hearing commercials, here's something to dance to. Stick around. 105.7 HFS is on its way back. This music, yeah, it's taking the place of those commercials. Hang on, 105.7 HFS will return shortly. HFS will be back in a bit.
Right now, if you post your resume on Monster.com, you're twice as likely to land the job you're looking for. Think about it. Every day, thousands of employers search Monster.com looking for talented, qualified people just like you. But the only way they're ever going to know you're out there is if you post your resume on Monster. So post it today, and you'll double your chances of finding the right job. Or better yet, having the right job find you. It's like raising your hand and saying, hey, pick me. Plus, with helpful tips and advice on everything from making the right impression during an interview to successful networking techniques, Monster.com is more than just a job site. It's your one-stop career resource center. So if you want to double your chances of finding the job that's right for you, go to Monster.com, post your resume, and get the job. Monster.com. Today's the day. Based on Comscore Networks Incorporated Custom Research 1005, showing that Monster users who posted a resume were twice as likely to get a job offer than Monster users who didn't post.
While everyone else is hearing commercials, here's something to dance to. Stick around. 105.7 HFS is on its way back. All those other fools are hearing commercials. You're not. Sit tight. 105.7 HFS will be right back. No teller. More of Penn Jillette. 105.7 Free FM.
Penn Jillette, that solo piano by Mike Jones. You can go to PennRadio.com, get zipped over to his website if you want to hear some astonishing piano playing. Here, of course, with Michael Goudeau, and who could be the next governor of Texas, Kinky Friedman, author.
A pleasure to be here.
Western star, yeah. You were on the Rolling Thunder review.
Correct, 1986.
Yeah, with Bob Dylan.
No, 76.
How many gigs did you do?
When was it? 86 or 76?
76.
80s were a bad decade for the Kinks.
Right, but the
70s was not a power decade. No.
When you were on
with Dylan in 76.
How many shows did you do?
Lots. Yeah, it was that was great. Absolutely great.
Because I didn't even get to see that show. You know, I'm a Dylan freak.
I mean, stuff with Ringo and Eric Clapton, and every time you turned around, there was somebody interesting there.
Yeah. How long a set did you do on that show?
I did four or five songs.
Really? Yeah. Every show?
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff up in New England, huh?
I didn't do that part of it. I did the Southern and Western and all that stuff.
What songs did you do when you usually did your set?
I did They Ain't Making Jews Like Jesus Anymore, Proud to Be a Pole from El Paso, Rapid City, South Dakota.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Sold American, or did that come later?
Sold American.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, just the basics. But I'll tell you, Pole was such a hit that I remember a show in Florida where the crowd just levitated on it. I mean, they were, you know, and Bob had trouble following it. Actually, came in. So, but the reason he had trouble following it, honestly, was that he came in doing Visions of Johanna, which is about a 29-minute song that very few people knew. So it was suggested to him to do Mr. Tambourine Man or something, which he did, and then the place really
went to the next level.
That was discarded.
And Bob played some harmonica on some of the early Jew Boy albums, didn't he? One of the ones.
Yeah, and he just gave me a harmonica in San Antonio, by the way.
Really? And he said, still have a spit on it?
Yeah, he says he doesn't want to see it on an eBay anytime soon. He said,
okay.
By the way, we had another incident that happened in Texas that I don't hold our governor responsible for, but it's a kind of bolt that happens, which is the TABC, whatever that stands for, Texas Alcohol. What is it?
Firearms Bureau?
Bureau, not firearms. Texas, whatever, Alcohol Bureaucracy Control,
okay.
Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, TABC has been arresting, you probably read about this, they arrest drunks in bars with undercover agents.
Yeah.
So now, look, if you're a drunk, I mean, the perfect place for you to be is in a bar.
Sure.
I mean, that's where you should be. So these guys have been arresting him. It's been getting national news. So that reminded me very much of Oscar Wilde. When, I don't know if you know this, when Oscar Wilde was arrested for the last time It was in a bar, and it was done by undercover agents. And Oscar was pretty well walking on his knuckles at that time. And the undercover guys came up, and they said, "Oscar Wilde?" And he said, "Yes." And the undercover guy said, "Do you know who I am?" And Oscar Wilde turns to the bar, and he says, "Good God, there's a man here who doesn't know who he is." He dragged him away, and that was it.
But, that's, you know, prior restraint. If they're not going to drive, if they're going to take a cab, what are they arresting him for?
They're arresting him because they are, it's wussification. It's the same damn thing as making a big deal out of a man drinking a Guinness during a St. Patrick's Day parade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we should be concentrating on education. Teaching is the noblest profession of them all. It truly is. It's not the oldest profession.
And
politics is the oldest.
Yeah. What about all the stuff that happened with Katrina and all that with them?
Well, that's the worst thing since Jimmy Carter let Fidel Castro send all those people over here in that boat lift.
Mm-hmm.
We had a huge firestorm, by the way, in the Panhandle that killed upwards of 25,000 animals. Our governor did nothing. He went up for a photo op. The people up there are furious because there's not many votes up there, really. There's not many people up there. Right. But they're hardworking people. And the Katrina people are not.
When you said hardworking people, you sound exactly like George W. Bush.
Well, maybe that's where George got it. Remember, I'm older than him. I'm 61 years old. I'm older than you. I'm too young for Medicare and too old for women to care. You know. But, anyway, so now we've got crime rates in Houston spiking at 25% to 30% because of these Katrina people that we've taken in, 100,000 of them. And the only good side of it is you can now get Boudin at Circle K. But do you know what Boudin is?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right. You asked the Cajun boy.
You want to explain to him?
Sausage.
Sausage?
It's rice sausage.
Cajun. You can now get Boudin at Circle K.
Well, see, I would see that be a plus.
It is a plus.
He said it was
as
the only
a Baton Rouge.
Plus.
It's the only plus. Yeah. It's the only silver lining.
What would you want to do to those people? Don't you want the people of Texas to have some compassion for people who are suffering like that?
Well, the black churches told me, my friends there in Houston, don't take these people in. They're thugs, and none of them have ever worked a day in their lives.
Now, I know
what they're talking about because I've never worked a day in my life. See, I can relate to it.
How were they judged that way? I mean, how do you know they're all thugs that were having to be hit by a hurricane?
The black churches were telling the truth. The white churches were being wonderfully Christian and open-hearted like yourself. In spite of yourself, you're being Christian.
Yeah, I know.
You can't help
yourself. I have that problem.
Somebody told me when you're governor, Kinky, things are serious. You know, I mean, what if you just become governor and a massive hurricane were to hit Houston? I told him that's no problem. We'll move to New Orleans.
But just keep one step ahead of it.
That's it. But honest to God, I don't sweat being governor at all. This is going to be great. We've had people who, we've had real idiots for, you know, we've had a couple. We've had one great one, Sam Houston, and that was 147 years ago.
And you'd be the first independent since.
That's
are you running, is the party independent or are you
no.
just totally independent?
And totally independent.
Totally on your own. Yeah. So how much money have you got to do this and where's it coming from?
It's mostly from the shampoo lobby. My friend John McCall from Armstrong McCall, they've given us about $1 million. We've raised about $3 million so far. Perry has $30 million. The next one has $10 million.
And what is Jesse?
What is what?
What has Jesse been doing since he, it's no longer
Jesse has been tying and macrameing his nose hairs, counting his money. He's living in Baja, as far as I know, and he set up some kind of kingdom down there. And he is very, I tell you what, people really respond to Jesse. They love, especially young people. You know, that's so important in Texas. I mean, that is the key. If you're old enough to die in Iraq, you're old enough to help us fix Texas.
I guess so. Now, talk a little bit about national politics. Who's going to run next time? McCain and Hillary? Is that who you're looking at?
Well, McCain's the only guy I truly respect that's you could call a politician. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you one beautiful thing McCain did. I'll tell you real quick. This was at A&M. There were about 1,000 people there and asking questions of him. And one Hispanic kid gets up. And by the way, the reason George W. and Perry are not doing well is because they don't want to offend anybody. That's the problem with these people. They don't want to offend Hispanics right now, see?
Mm-hmm.
They get nothing done. And you know what? It's offensive to Hispanics to have politicians not want to offend them.
Yeah, of course.
So this Hispanic kid gets up and he says, Senator McCain, whatever, you've never seen people suffer. You've never seen people die. You don't know what it's like to be in Mexico and have a family that, you know. And the audience gets very quiet because they realize this kid is way out of it. He's talking to the one guy who has seen all of it. You know? He's talking to the guy who has seen all his comrades die, and he's suffered more than any of us have physically and emotionally. And the kid goes on and on. And finally the kid finishes and walks away. And McCain says, and everybody's thinking McCain is going to lower the boom on this kid. You pretty well got to, you know. Mm-hmm. And McCain says, don't walk away too far, young man. And the kid turns around, and metaphorically, and when it turns around, it comes back to the mic. And all McCain tells him is, I salute your passion. Boy, that just nailed it. Nailed it. Next question. It was great. It was, yeah. It was absolutely great. And it just nailed the room. It was beautiful. And it taught me something, which you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to, you know, it just, I salute your passion.
Well,
next question.
That's easier when he's already won. I mean, everybody knows his past a little bit.
Well, so wouldn't you? Come on. If somebody was really talking about it. I mean, he didn't even take the bait at all, wouldn't
exactly,
you?
Exactly, not at all.
You wouldn't have been baited in that circumstance.
You're asking the wrong guy, man. Yeah.
Well, certainly I would have been, but I'm not as great a man. I'm not running for anything.
Now, do you think the Republicans will nominate him is a bigger question?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't understand this kind of
mess. Well, I can tell you that they won't.
They won't?
No, it's a Crips and the Bloods again, and that's why George W. is trapped with Iraq. I mean, even he knows that he should divide the country into three sections right now. You know what I mean? William Buckley and Newt Gingrich and everybody is telling him, change strategy, do something. He can't do it because of the Crips and the Bloods. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bloods won't let the Crips and get away with anything, and the Crips won't let the Bloods. And ironically, they are the same person admiring themselves in the mirror.
And who's going to be the Democrat candidate?
I have very little interest in this, Penn, if you don't mind. I'm running for governor, not God right now. Okay.
I'm sorry about lying. I'm way out of line. I just wanted to give, you know, just trying to give you some idea to be able to talk about all the politics possible. So tell me more about Texas. You're not running for God. You're running for governor. Lay some more on me.
Well, there's right now I'm feeling so good. I'm inspired. You know, by the people who are inspiring me. I mean, that's like Willie Nelson feels, you know, I'm sure. Now, I talk to Willie a lot. He's got ideas, you know, like, well, he's got an idea that we should close the borders in Mexico, New Mexico, and Louisiana. Then we open up the Mexican borders. We let illegals come in. We inscript them all in the Texas National Guard, and then we invade Oklahoma. And we take their oil. We take their oil. Which is a good idea. It's
very good.
Now, Willie's biodiesel, that's going to be huge. And as you know, I'm supporting him in biodiesel. I want the state to go on biodiesel. I will trade in my Yom Kippur Clipper for a diesel that is a Jewish Cadillac. It stops on a dime and it picks it up. You know. But if we can get 8 or 10%, if Willie Nelson and Kinky Friedman can sell Texas on 8 or 10% of us using biodiesel, which is just vegetable oil, as you know, used vegetable oil, if we can do that, the prices at the pump are going to drop in Texas. Mm-hmm. And if they start to drop, we will be number one in renewable fuels in this country, and it would be great to be number one in something besides executions, toll roads, and property taxes.
It sure would. Well, I certainly hope. You know, I just last time you were out visiting, I thought it was really cool you were running, and it seemed a little bit more Pat Paulson. And this time you're out here, and it almost seems real. I'm starting to feel like what I felt when Jesse Ventura.
If you're going to bring reality to Las Vegas, you've really got some. Never reelect anybody.
Never, ever. This is Kinky Friedman. I'm Pat.
This is Pendula.
Yeah, we're on Free FM, and Mike Godot's sitting watching the whole mess. Good luck, Kinky. I hope you win, man.
Thank you very much, man.